This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, we are back with a bit more detailed review of the Bills' loss to the Chiefs, and then we'll go into an exciting preview of the Bills at the Jets this Sunday. We probably won't spend a whole lot of time on that. So, Nate, we'll really focus on what went wrong here, and in some cases, what sort of went right. And I think the defensive game plan worked in a way. I just don't think they planned on giving up 245 rushing yards.
I mean, you never plan on giving up 245 rushing yards, but I think, you know, all in all, if you were to ask McDermott if he would take this exact defensive game and the Chiefs getting 26 points every single time against the Chiefs, he would probably say yes. Like, I after rewatching this game, I don't think the defense played all that bad. I think the offense was absolutely brutal, and that is really, after rewatching it, lay when the majority of my blame for like how that game went on the offense, or rather lack thereof.
I think that's right. And if you look at the defense, they planned on having Tyrell Dodson play linebacker, I think, because he's still not practicing with a hamstring this week. So I think that's why he was not in the game after the first series, I think it was. And then you also expect to have Cam Lewis in there, who got hurt on one of the first couple of series. So then you have AJ Klein and Taron Johnson out there. And that kind of ruins what the goal of this defensive game plan was, which was to drop seven or eight guys in coverage and just stop them on third down. It's hard to do that because AJ Klein can't defend the pass, and quite frankly, neither can Taron Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, the way they wanted to play against Mahomes is really the blueprint, I think, for beating the Chiefs, which is play mostly zone, drop a ton of guys in coverage, and dare them to just run the ball game. Because even if they get 245 yards rushing, 5 yards a carry, they're going to score less points than if you let Mahomes throw 40 to 45 times in a game. That's just over the long run, that strategy is just keeping the ball out of Mahomes' hands is probably the best way to go defend that team. The Bills didn't have the best personnel. They didn't play the greatest, but all in all, I think the defense put the offense in position to win the game. They gave them multiple opportunities to do some good things, and the offense just never stepped up.
Right, and if the Bills' offense had put a little bit of pressure on the Chiefs and scored more, then the Chiefs are passing into eight-man coverages more, and you never know what happens out of that, even with Patrick Mahomes. But like you said, Nate, most of the blame lies with the offense, not the defense. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's really what happened. Yes, they didn't defend the run well, but that was kind of by design. It was to hopefully not give up a first down off of two runs and then stop them on third down. And I think they went like 9 of 14 on third down. So it just didn't happen. And I think it's largely personnel. If you replace Taron Johnson with Cam Lewis and AJ Klein with Tyrell Dodson or even Matt Milano, then this game maybe goes a bit differently. But I still think the Chiefs would have won in that scenario because the Bills' offense was just putrid.
Yeah, I know both of us during the game and a lot of other people during the game were tweeting about how the defense couldn't stop anyone, da, 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 and I was even getting kind of mad at the defense. But rewatching, thinking about it, it makes sense what they wanted to do. And I think that Josh Allen, the offense, knew that too after the game. Like, they know they have to be better. Everyone on offense has to be better. And I think that starts with running the ball at least sort of effectively. Like, in the NFL, running obviously isn't efficient. And it's not great to run all the time. But you have to be able to at least run the ball a little bit, or teams are going to do what the Chiefs did and just play cover two, cover four all game and just say, here, good luck. Good luck throwing the ball on the field.
Right. And I think part of the reason the offense didn't get going early, at least both the Titans game and the Chiefs game, it seems like the Bills came out with passing plays that took a long time to develop with long routes. And the Chiefs were bringing a lot of blitzes in this game. And Allen just didn't have time for those things to open up. And the couple of times he did, he just missed the throws deep down the field. If you look at what they did successfully the first four games, they came out and just quick, short, intermediate passes to start the game. And that opened up things over the top, especially when you think of like the Dolphins game with the deep crossers against man-to-man coverage. It's a bit different than what the Chiefs were playing, but regardless, they need to get Josh Allen in a rhythm early because that's where he finds success and confidence in throwing the ball down the field, is when he's able to get easy completions to start the game.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the last 2 weeks, like you said. When Allen starts slow, he hasn't been able to figure it out. And that's kind of been a theme throughout his career. When he starts slow, he usually doesn't figure it out. Maybe he figures it out late in the fourth quarter and does something ridiculous, but he usually doesn't figure it out. And you're going to see a lot more teams playing the Bills defensively the way the Titans and the Chiefs did, because it clearly works. Or if you drop two deep safeties on most passing downs, you take away a lot of what the Bills want to do. And the offense just has to do a better job of beating that, or at least getting some yardage on short passes or running the ball to force teams to come out of that. Because if they're going to see two deep safeties all the time, it's going to be very hard to get the chunk plays that this offense that carried this offense in the first four games.
Right. And like I said, the Chiefs brought a lot of blitzes. It was a ton of cover zero. And Allen made a great play early in the game, where he saw what was coming, that he was not going to have time. He audibles out of the play and has Stephon Diggs run a go route against one-on-one coverage, throws it downfield, and gets a defensive pass interference. I just think it just didn't make sense what they were trying to do most of the time. That's the scenario to take the deep shot when you know you don't have a safety. But it seems like they just kept drawing up long, developing passing plays, and the Chiefs were happy to just play zone coverage or bring blitzes, so just he never had time to hit those deep routes.
One of the Chiefs' favorite things to do in that game, especially early on in the game, was to bring one delayed blitzer, whether it was a slot corner or a linebacker, like a full second after the snap, have them come. And the Bills just didn't block that delayed blitzer pretty much ever. It was just Josh Allen had to figure out how to beat that guy, and he did most of the time. I don't think he ever got sacked by one of those plays, but it makes it so whatever he's looking at, whatever read he has, is gone when that happens. And that's another thing I think teams are going to realize, is that when the Bills want to have these plays that take a long time to develop down the field, they're going to bring extra pressure. And if the Bills don't block it, it ruins a lot of what they're trying to do. And that's something I think Brian Daboll will fix going forward. And I think this, like, the Jets is a perfect game to try some new stuff and to get back on the right page.
Yeah, and you look at that first game of the season there, the Jets kind of played that safe, two deep safeties and just hope that the Bills don't beat you over the top, and they just gave up 8 to 10 yard passes all game long. And hopefully the Bills come in with a similar game plan. It looks like they're not going to have John Brown, and regardless, if anyone's even remotely hurt for the Bills, just don't play them this week. It's really not worth it.
Yeah, yes, it's the NFL. And yes, anything could happen on any given week. But this is a Jets team that has very little talent, a lot of injuries, a coach that is terrible, and that the players, I think, realize is terrible, and I'm not quite sure why he's been fired yet. Like, it's just if you want to have a game against a game in the NFL that you can say is, you know, as close to a sure thing, a sure win as possible, it's this Jets team. And that'll be the case probably the rest of the year. And there's no point in playing anyone who has any even little knocks in this game. Get guys healthy going forward. It's not worth it.
Right. And I just do want to touch on the defense quickly before we roll into the preview here. Tremaine Edmonds, I think we thought he was pretty good against Tennessee after watching it back, and I don't think that's the case after this Chiefs game. It's like he's definitely taken a step back this year outside of the Tennessee game to a clear step below of what he was last season.
Yeah, and I think part of that is he's not trusting himself really at all, and he should be. It doesn't seem like he trusts what he sees. He takes a half a second too long a lot of the time to decide where to go, and oftentimes when he waits that long, it is either too late or he ends up going the wrong way. And the other thing he's struggled with big time this year, other than the Tennessee game, is getting off blocks. And it's that part of his game I'm less worried about. What worries me more is the fact that he just isn't playing instinctually most of the time.
Right, and for him, it was always going to be about the instinct part of the game, because he's just an athletic freak. You couldn't find a better prototype to play middle linebacker. He's 6'5", 250, and he's really fast. But he's just got to learn to trust his instincts, and I don't know. It seems like last year he figured it out, and he was on his way to being one of the better middle linebackers in the league. Maybe not necessarily a superstar, but this is just a clear regression, and he's got to figure it out here soon, because I think he's in year three, so they would have to pick up the fifth year option after this season. And if he continues to play like this, I really don't think you can pick up the option.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the many reasons that the defense has regressed a little bit. I think part of that is injuries this year. They've been missing some key pieces in quite a few games. Part of that is when the offense is playing as well as the offense is playing, the defense doesn't have to do as much, and they probably aren't trying to do as much. And part of it is it's guys just aren't playing great. Like, it's all over the field. Guys just aren't playing great. There's a lot of talent on this defense. There's more than enough talent to be a top-tier defense, like a top-10 defense. They're just not playing very well. And we're still early in the year. I'm still hopeful, but if this continues for another couple of weeks, it's going to start to worry me as we get closer to the playoffs.
I agree. And if they're able to get Milano back 100% healthy, I don't think he will this week. He's logged two limited practices. We're recording on Thursday night here. So I wouldn't play him if he's not 100%. There's just no reason to risk re-injury again. With the Jets, you should be able to beat the Jets without Matt Milano. And I think the Patriots game the week after that, I believe that's who they play, that is where we really need to see the defense totally together as a cohesive unit. And I think that's part of the problem, is it's just when one or two guys aren't playing well, it really kind of brings down the play of the overall group, just with how their scheme works.
And I mean, like you said, this is a perfect get well game for the defense too. I mean, the Jets are the worst offense in the whole NFL. I don't think it's all that close. They score like 12 points a game. They don't get first downs ever. They can't throw the ball. It's just a perfect combination of things that should allow the defense to at least, if anything, just get a little bit of confidence going into that Patriots game.
Yeah, and you have 37-year-old Frank Gore running towards you, which I don't think anyone is afraid of. Even if the defensive line continues to get blown off the ball, Frank Gore is not really going anywhere quick.
No, I mean, the Jets roster just doesn't have a lot of talent, and they just keep shedding the guys that are actually halfway decent football players, with Le'Veon Bell getting cut, Steve McClendon getting traded to the Buccaneers. Like, they're getting rid of anyone on the team, on the Jets, who's actually good, and it's like they're trying to lose every single one of the rest of their games. If Darnold ends up getting traded, then they're trying to lose every one of the rest of their games.
I really think this might be one of the worst football teams I've ever seen. And, we thought that about Miami after 2 weeks last year, but they turned it around. They had a little bit of talent on their roster. You look around at the Jets, what do they have? Marcus May at safety? And Mekhi Becton, who hasn't played in a few weeks at left tackle, their first-round pick, who looks to be pretty good. But other than that, It's pretty terrible. And like you said, Adam Gase is the worst coach in the NFL. And it looks like they're going to be without Jamison Crowder because he was did not practice today on Thursday with a new injury that popped up, I think. So who are they even going to trot out at receiver? I don't know. Like you said, this is the ultimate get-right game. You cannot even have this game be close.
Right, and it should be a blowout. It should be, because like you said, the Jets are one of the worst teams in NFL history. They're definitely worse than the 0-16 teams. The only team that would have been worse than them is the team that actually won a game with 2009 Rams, but we can talk about that a different time. That was the team I would have thought before this year was the worst team ever. But it should be a blowout. It should be the offense should be able to score a ton of points. The defense hopefully can force some turnovers, keep and make some big plays. I mean, the Jets offense is so bad that I just don't, it's hard to even like imagine them scoring more than like 13 points in this game, barring something weird happening. Like it's watching them against the Dolphins last week. It's like they weren't even trying to score the whole game. It's like they were trying to see if they could get through the whole game without scoring any points. I'm imagining it's going to be the same thing this weekend.
In that game, the Dolphins, I think they went 1-for-9 on third down, and they won 24-0. That's like a riddle. It doesn't even make sense to be that bad on third down and it not even be remotely close. And I think the goal for the Bills' offense has to be, all right, come out, score 21, 28 points in the first half, and just end the game right there. Get the starters back out there in the third quarter, score again, and then just kind of put the game on ice.
100%. Like this, the 24-0, like you said, wasn't exactly a 24-0 game. And if the Jets play like that, the Bills should win like by double that margin. If the Jets had more the ball for longer than the Dolphins, they pretty much had the same amount of yards. They just weren't trying to score, is what it seemed like to me. And I'm imagining more of the same on Sunday. Now, I don't expect the Bills to shut them out because that's rare in the NFL. But knowing Adam Gase, it's quite possible.
Right. And Josh Norman showed up on the injury report today with a hamstring, which is what he went to IR with earlier this year. So they could be without him. We don't know if Cam Lewis is going to play. Trey White popped back up with a back injury. I don't know if that was just partly rest or if he re-injured it. There's not going to be Matt Milano. The defense is going to be a little bit thin. I'm assuming they'll want everyone to get right for New England the next week. But even so, they really shouldn't give up more than 14, 17 points at most if they get a garbage time score.
This is anything less than a complete domination is going to be a disappointment. I think a lot of people that talk about NFL teams, when their teams turn to play the Jets, that's what they're going to say, because this Jets team is terrible and they just don't seem to care about winning or scoring or doing anything other than trying to get Trevor Lawrence.
Right, and 0-16 teams are really rare. There are professional football players on that team that want to put out good tape. They want to win. It just don't let that be against you. And if the Bills somehow blow this game, it's time to panic. But I don't see a scenario where that happens.
Yeah, and when I say like the Jets aren't trying to win, I'm not saying necessarily the players aren't trying to win, because that's you're a professional athlete. You get on the field, there's a lot of adrenaline, you're trying to win. It's like everyone else in the organization doesn't seem to care about winning. And when that's the case, it's hard to even be competitive when you have the minuscule amount of talent this Jets team has. But like you said, Alex, it is the NFL. Stuff can happen, but that would be panic mode. Even a close game to me would be panic mode. But losing would be ultimate panic mode.
Right. If you lose this game, you're talking about, all right, we're coming into a tough stretch, and, you know, the Dolphins and the Patriots are still right there. And you don't want any part of that. You just go out there, take care of business against the Jets, get to 5-2, and kind of be in a driver's seat for one of those top four seeds.
That's the goal. And this is hopefully a good get-right weekend for this Bills team. And we see more of the team that we saw in the first 4 weeks versus what we've seen the last two.
Absolutely. So that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Ballinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people find the show. Do us a favor and follow us on Twitter, @Bills_breakdown. Send us any questions, comments, feedback to BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.